This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. We're happy once again to meet each other, aren't we, within this idea of this Course in Miracles. It's a mind training, a systematic way in which we're beginning to recognize each other in a new form of the drama that we have been playing within the idea that we were bodies. All right, you are here very simply for the reason that you cannot not believe you are a body. You actually believe as a human condition that your identity depends on the containment of that form of illusionary light association that allows you to see in just the moment of your reflection what you're not. The certainty of the transformation of your mind based on this Course in Miracles is nothing but the admission that since you are entirely responsible for what you are seeing in this world in correspondence with what you think are other images outside yourself, if you decide not to defend yourself from these images, you cannot not see, beginning with a better reflection of yourself, who you really are. So the correspondence, the realization of the reestablishment of communication within our hearts and our minds is what I am hopefully representing to you. I want to show you that despite your determination to condemn yourself, to find yourself guilty within this little containment of the parameter of your conceptual self, it simply is not true. I want you to try this with me because it'll help you if you let it. Say to me, I cannot be separate from everything. Yeah, the idea that you could be that little containment of concepts of identity based on long gone thoughts makes absolutely no sense. I enjoy the reasoning process wherein you have come to know this. You have admitted to me somewhere that everything you see is a reflection of your own association. When you came in here with me, you brought all of your own ideas about yourself and made me a part of your old identity. I'm not a part of it. I'm a reference that you can see if you want to, a bet a future idea about yourself, but it must be contained in the repair of your old identity of you. You have gone back in time sufficiently to come forward and see me in the reality that we share. How else did you think you were going to travel to the stars? Can you hear this with me? When you travel to the stars, and I assure you, you will in your quantum adventure, every time you enter into a black hole of a new galaxy identity, you must and will come out before you went in. You want to study that, physicist? You're the ones that told me that if I go into a black hole, I could never escape because I would be trapped forever in the dark form. The certainty that you came out before you went in is my certainty that the identity of the entrance into space cannot not include the entirety of your exit from it. Can you see that? Time lasted but a moment in your mind. Say that to me. Yeah, and it didn't have an effect on eternity. What I'm offering you is before you went into the black hole and after you went out. But if you go into time, you'll be there forever unless you can collapse time and come out before you went in. I guess that most of you have probably turned me off now. What I want to show you, if you will allow me, is that time is only lasting for a moment. And no matter how you stretch it within this dark form, it will still only be a moment. Let's go back and review now. We're going to have to get at this, aren't we? We'll go back and review a little bit about the idea that the time you are using is only to defend yourself in the conflict of your own conceptual identity, and that it's over and gone. Listen. Now is there silence all around the world. Now is there stillness where before there was a frantic rush of thoughts that made no sense. Now is there tranquil light across the face of earth made quiet in a dreamless sleep. And now the word of God alone remains upon it. Only that can be perceived an instant longer. Then are symbols gone and everything you ever thought you made completely vanished from the mind that God forever knows to be his only son. So there is no condemnation in him. He was only a reflection of your own condemnation. He is perfect in his holiness. He needs no thoughts of mercy. Who could give him gifts when everything is his? And who could dream of offering forgiveness to the son of sinlessness itself, so like to him whose son he is, that to behold the son is to perceive no more and only know the father? In this vision of the son, so brief, that not an instant stands between this single sight and timelessness itself, you see the vision of yourself. Are you listening? And then you disappear forever into God. Today, we come still nearer to the end of everything that yet could stand between this vision and our sight. And we are glad that we have come this far, and recognize that he who brought us here will not forsake us now, for he would give to us the gift that God has given us through him today. Now is the time for your deliverance. The time has come. The time has come today. So you discovered something with me, and this is going to be very surprising to you. Okay, since only your condemnation can injure you, you have an idea that you can approach and combat yourself in your own reflections and get back to heaven. The truth of the matter is you're denying yourself your own access. Now, here's the step that I want to take with you. I can show you as you get nearer and nearer to the solution, it's impossible for you to retain your own conceptual identity. You can keep having the distance between where you intend to go, but you cannot reach the entirety of it because it would represent the termination of yourself. At that point, I can help you. Why? I have already had the experience of being on the other side of the illusion. So I invite you, within your own definition of longevity, to take the step out of time. You couldn't do it yourself because you kept thinking you could shorten the distance. And that's a true idea. You can shorten the distance, but finally all space is contained in everything. So that final step you needed a little help for. But you remember this, that final step has always been available to you in the light forms of your own mind. Can you see that with me? How can we be certain of that? Because of the lesson for today. And we're going to begin, as we have in our practice, to identify ourselves in that certainty. We know each other perfectly well in our minds, not within the body form. We know each other perfectly well. We recognize each other now at this time and place. Shall we practice it? Do you know me? You know me by not insisting that I'm a body. If you insist that I'm a body, it can only be because you are identifying the reflections of your own body form in an objective identity of something separate from you, but still contained within your old memories. Do you see the importance of forgiveness now? If we lay down that momentary defense of the form, of the objectivity of the light form, we will recognize instantly what? We are one. This is the teaching of the Saviorship of Jesus Christ. He says, I am one with you in the certainty that our power and love comes from God, from our single creative source. Let's try it. I am not a body. I am free. I am not a body. I'm not something else. I'm just not a body. Not being a body is what freedom is. Why? I release the molecular association of my illusionary correspondence and I disappear. Are you ready? Say to me, I just disappeared. Yeah. What? No, you didn't. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Okay? You keep retaining momentary reflections of the form of your own mind, even though they're over and gone. Okay. Shall I try that with you in one of the basic lessons? Say to me, I see only the past. Yeah. Everything you see is a reflection only of the moment of your entire containment. Yes, you are not a body. Yes, you are free. And yes, you are perfectly whole as God created you. Let's look at the lesson together. Freedom must be impossible as long as you perceive a body as yourself. The body is a limit. Who would seek for freedom in a body looks for it where it cannot be found. The mind can be made free when it no longer sees itself as in a body, firmly tied to it and sheltered by its presence. If this were the truth, the mind were vulnerable indeed. Could you hear that? The mind that serves the Holy Spirit is unlimited forever in all ways, beyond the laws of time and space, unbound by any preconceptions, and with strength and power to do whatever it is asked. Attack thoughts cannot enter such a mind because it has been given to the source of love, and fear can never enter in a mind that has attached itself to love. It rests in God, and who can be afraid who lives in innocence and only loves? Listen, it is essential for your progress of your awakening to eternal life that you accept today's idea and hold it very dear. Be not concerned that to the ego it is quite insane. The ego holds the body dear because it dwells in it and lives united with the home that it made. It is a part of the illusion that has sheltered it from being found illusionary itself. Here does it hide, and here it can be seen as what it is. Declare your innocence and you are free. What happens? The body disappears because you have no need of it except the need that the Holy Spirit sees. For this, the body will appear as useful form for what the mind must do. It thus becomes a vehicle which helps forgiveness be extended to the all-inclusive goal that it must reach according to God's plan. Of course, you want to perform with me? Let's use a little Christian vernacular for a minute. Would you like to perform with me the act of resurrection that was just offered you within that lesson? It says very simply that your body is a particle association in light form that holds your separate particles of mind together. You project them from you and formulate other particles of thought form that you call mass, symbolize them in separation, and actually hold yourself together in a body form. What I'm offering you through your own light is the certainty that that can be collapsed in the realization of who you are, right? So what do? You reassemble the body, all right, in the idea that you are whole and perfect as you were created. You are the living Son of God Himself. The formulation that you perform in the act of holding your conceptual mind in the idea of a consciousness of separation is not true. Are you listening? You are all alone, right there. You are all alone in the universe, attempting to express the moment of separation that gave you an itinerary of the utilization of light not based on the single source of what you are. The performance of the miracle of the conversion of your body based on the sharing of the form of our own identities of recognition of wholeness will heal you instantly from the idea that you were that body. What have we done? We've increased the frequency of the energy and power of light to continually convert the body identity so that we can represent new light bodies to each other in the recognition of the merger of our dark form into a new centering of what we are. This is the offering to you within the illusion of your own mind of an incorruptible body. And the reason that it is incorruptible is because you no longer want to corrupt it. Now, you will awaken in the glory that through the conversion of your body, we're back to resurrection, aren't we? That the idea that you came from this grave, from this sick, sad idea of yourself that denied you resurrection is over and gone. And this is the time and the place where you individually accepted it in your own mind. Very simply because it was only contained within your own mind. This is a dream of death from which you are now awakening. And I am a character in your own dream representing to you your awakening process. I am showing you that in reality we share this single source and offering you a very late time identity of you based on the subtraction of your past identity in order that I can show you the here and now. You're going to begin to see light brothers walking around in the world having experiences of conversion. And you're liable to say to them, if you're contained within your own self, why are you so happy and joyous? They're going to attempt to express to you the solution that they have found, not in their own aggregation of thought form, but in the realization that there is immediately available to them a complete alternative, and they have decided to express within this Course in Miracles that they will choose again. You have to remember with me, mind trainers, that every time you choose, you're wrong. All right. Every time you choose to remain within the fabric of your own consciousness, you're going to stay in that body form. The offering that I am giving you is to release that defense and let the alternative that's actually waiting for you be available to you. Let's go back now and look at this idea that you are not a body and that you are free and that you are still as God created you. Listen. Cherish today's idea and practice it today and every day. Make it a part of every practice period that you take. There is no thought that will not gain thereby in power to help the world, and none which will not gain an added gift to you as well. Why? We sound the call of freedom around the world with this idea. And would you be exempt from the acceptance of the gifts that you give? The Holy Spirit is the home of minds that seek for freedom. In Him, they have found what they have sought. What? The body's purpose now is unambiguous, and it becomes perfect in the ability to serve an undivided goal. In conflict-free and unequivocal response to mind, with but the thought of freedom as its goal, the body serves and serves its purpose well, without the power to enslave. It is a worthy servant of the freedom which the mind within the Holy Spirit seeks. I'm going to share with you what's actually occurring within this little form of being separate from God. What's happening? The reestablishment of communication. If each one of you actually contains the answer as being offered from my mind to yours, that you are not a body, that you are free, and that you are as God created you, it becomes a form of the expression of an alternative that will be available within your own conceptual self. Look at me. It becomes another decision that you can make within the containment of what you thought restricted you to the little alternatives that you expressed within your own mind. Finally, what you're expressing to me is the discovery, and we'll be talking about it on this lesson, that all of your alternatives only led you to the same conclusion within your own time frame, that you were occupied with a retention of the definition of yourself that precluded the idea of your own eternal life and justified your temporal idea that you could get old and that you could get sick and that you could die. There is no question that I am a provision within your own mind offering you a bright new alternative to yourself and how you have aggregated within your own definition. There is also no question that the world, as you have been defining yourself in its association, has and will deny you access to this. Even though it would be very obvious to you and to any reasoning mind by the simple observation of its objective self that it is true. I'm reminded of my dear friend Galileo, somewhere in the 1600s, who took one look at the stars and saw that the Copernicus idea that the Earth was not the center of the universe, and in fact the center of the universe was, as we looked at it, the sun, and that the earth was going about the sun, could not be true by the simple observation of it. Much to his consternation, when he was called before the Inquisition, it was demanded of him that he recant the idea of what was very obvious to his mind and admit that indeed the earth was the center of the universe and that the sun went around the earth. At that time, it's kind of a nice analogy. At that time, he had no other idea. Down on his knees, he recanted. But it is well understood that under his breath, he said, "I know damn well that the earth goes around the sun. Just as you are contained within this form that's going to hold you in its establishment, you know damn well you're not from here. Now, you can deny it, that's kind of nice, and you can attack me, but any observation of yourself in this association would show you the obvious insanity and futility of seeking for a solution where it's not. The idea that the earth is the center of the universe must be subtracted from you so you can see that you are not contained at all. At that time, you can recognize yourself in the entirety of the universal association." You see, the inquiry, the inquisition, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on the church any more than I would on any establishment, including the science ones, that maintain that somehow the little limitation of the conceptual mind, though it can describe 100 billion years or 100 billion stars, unless it actively participates in it through the power of its own mind, is totally meaningless. So the concepts of yourself that you now hold are what are denying you access to eternal life. And since we're nearing the end of this thought form conversion procedure, we may be talking to you a little bit about how the Course looks at you in your own conceptual identity, about the limitations that you have imposed on yourself in order not to see the certainty that the light that's all around you. So you're going to go out in the world and you're going to say, "I made a momentous discovery. I'm whole and perfect as God created me. I can see this light all around me." And they're going to say to you, "Shut up. Don't you tell us about that. We don't want to know about that, because that will destroy the ideas that we have about ourselves in the dark form." Biblically, Jesus says, when you go out and try to teach this, the denial is very intense, because it is a denial of the light. And it's a denial of the experience that you have had within your own mind. Now perhaps you buckle under the intense idea of the forms within your own mind and suffer another consequence of loneliness and death. This is the time and place where you have come to this spot once again, and you have decided to hold just a moment and look at the fear that actually was surrounding you and commanding you not to look again. Because the commandment to look again is going to show you this new bright form. So our mind training to you as you went out into the world has been, look again. We have to leave you now. These are little 30-minute increments of the reassociation of your mind. Perhaps you're watching this on television. You won't have to wait to see the next episode, because we'll be back in just a moment to show it to you. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we are thinking. Let's say together, God bless us, everyone. We're back with you laughing at the analogy. The crew of loved ones that are here with me preparing this video for you are laughing at the analogy that I gave you concerning Galileo. The simple fact of the matter, listen to me, dear ones, that contained within your own mind is the entirety of the idea that at no single moment do you exist at all. The offerings of our Savior Jesus, when he appeared within this time frame, were very simply, I'm here to take you home. At this time and place, I am showing you my saviorship so you can recognize your own. And it obviously has nothing at all to do with the containment of the establishment. Yet the establishment, based on your idea, is hell-bent on denying you that access. So the solution of subjective reality that I am offering you through my mind shows you a correspondence that is literally not of this world. Okay, Jesus says, as he appears, the time will come and did when you will hear this, because the time did come and you did hear it, and you are gone from here. Now, you're here only for the moment that you recognize that with me. But listen, in that moment of that recollection, in that moment of that evolved certainty of your mind, you cannot not extend the light to the world. And suddenly all around you are these old contained projections that were of your mind that are no longer a part of what you are. You now offer them the solution within your new continuum of time, and they cannot not recognize you. If they don't appear to for just a moment, be glad that the power that you are employing is not contained within your conceptual self, but is the utilization of a free form flowing of forgiveness that extends forever. So that the concept of yourself is not the manner in which you communicate. The concept of your self-identity has been your denial of who you really are. Let's complete this lesson, shall we, that you are not a body and that you are free and that you are still as God created you, so that you're going to not defend this concept of yourself that has made you lose the things that you love and caused you to get old and die. I'm representing to you a longevity of time that's only going to last for about 6 more minutes. You want to accept that from me? Your time here on earth has been shortened immeasurably by your realization of the availability of the complete alternative. Let's complete the lesson. So let's be free today and carry freedom as your gift to those who still believe they are enslaved within a body. Be you free so that the Holy Spirit can make use of your escape from bondage to set free the many who perceive themselves as bound and helpless and afraid. Let love replace their fears through you. Accept salvation now and give your mind to him who calls to you to make the gifts to him, for he would give you perfect freedom, perfect joy, and hope that finds its full accomplishment in God. Now, you are God's son. In immortality, you live forever. Would you not return your mind to this? Then practice well the thought the Holy Spirit gives you for today. Your brothers stand released with you in it. The world is blessed along with you. God's Son will weep no more, and heaven offers thanks for the increase of joy your practice brings even to it. And God himself extends his love and happiness each time that you say, I am not a body. I am free. I hear the voice that God has given me, and it is only this that my mind obeys. Let's look together of what you're beginning to understand within our minds. This has been a dream of separation. I'm within your dream telling you it's not true. Say to me, there's nothing about this world that is true. Yeah. All of it is over and gone. It is no longer contained in the mind that held it dear for a moment. You are the effects of an idea that you were separate from eternal life. I'm offering you the certainty that it is not true. And you will hear me at this time and place because you did. Because the reflection I am offering you is a shared realization that we have come together at this time and place to express our certainty that time itself is an illusion. Okay? There is no time when you could have been separate from eternal life. All right? The lovely biblical idea that what you bind on earth, what you bind in space-time, will be bound in heaven is what we just offered you. Since heaven and earth are both contained within your own mind, if the religious vernacular bothers you, there's nothing I can do about it. I can tell you that all power of existent association is given to you as included in with the certainty of the eternal extension of the universe. This and the idea of light and power and love that we share. You have accepted from me the idea of power of thought. As long as you objectified the notations of form association and separated yourself from them, you immediately became unreal. Your notation of objectivity denied you. Could you see that? Except that you would recognize that object as a whole part of yourself. You suffer from a fractured mind where your ideas symbolize your separation, and thus you sustain within your own concepts those symbols that represent your necessity to get old and get sick and die. And it won't work. You're not going to be able to remain in that fabric any longer. All you had to do was make a decision in your own mind that you no longer wanted to participate in the illusion of pain and death that you previously cherished in order to retain a self-identity that denied you access to your creative source. In a particular sense, you loved the conflict, didn't you? As I did. In a particular sense, you liked the idea that you could succeed in this form and justify the fear that you had in your need to suffer that conflict within your own mind. And many of you called it honor. And I share with you my pre-illumination determination to find justice within this form and to offer it to the world and the sympathy and love that we feel for each other. My realization of futility in my efforts to retain an occupation of sickness and death and conflict that associated with the eternal love of God was my momentary laying down of the defenses of that dark form and the illumination of my mind, which I now share with you, because we share a single source of reality. And this is the time and place where you heard it. Notice that I'm not concerned about the particulars of your own concepts, only that if you recognize yourself within your conceptual self and make choices based on that conception, you cannot come to know who you really are, because all of your concepts of yourself are false. In a literal sense, anything you choose will not give you the solution. Now, that involves the certainty of a basic admission that you're not a body and that the solution can be found in your mind by disassociating yourself momentarily from that conceptual self. Let's go together just for a moment in this idea to chapter 31 in the text that talks directly about your self-concept versus who you really are. Listen. Here's all about your real alternative. There is a tendency to think the world can offer consolation and escape from problems that its purpose is to keep. Could you hear that? Why should this be? Because it is a place where choice among illusions seems to be the only choice, and you are in control of outcomes of your choosing. Thus, you think within the narrow band from birth to death, a little time is given you to use for you alone, a time when everyone conflicts with you. But you can choose which road will lead you out of conflict and away from difficulties that concern you not. Are you listening? They are your concern. How then can you escape from them by leaving them behind? What must go with you, you will take with you, whatever road you choose to walk along. Listen, real choice is no illusion, but the world has none to offer. All of its roads but lead to disappointment, nothingness, and death. There is no choice in its alternatives. Seek not escape from problems here. The world was made that problems could not be escaped. Be not deceived by all the different names its roads are given. They have but one end, and each is but the means to gain that end, for it is here that all its roads will lead, however differently they seem to start. However differently they seem to go, their end is certain, for there is no choice among them, and you know it. All of them will lead to death. On some you travel gaily for a while before the bleakness enters, and on some the thorns are felt at once. The choice is not what will the ending be, but when it comes. There is no choice where every end is sure. Perhaps you would prefer to try all of them before you really learn they are but one. The roads this world can offer seem to be quite large in number, but the time must come when everyone begins to see how like they are to one another. Now, men have died on seeing this because they saw no way except the pathways offered by the world, and learning they led nowhere, they lost their hope. Are you listening? And yet this was the time when they could have learned their greatest lesson. All must reach this point and go beyond it. It is true indeed, there is no choice at all within the world. But this is not the lesson in itself. The lesson has a purpose, and in this you come to understand what it is for. Why would you seek to try another road, another person, or another place when you have learned the way the lesson starts, but do not yet perceive what it is for? Its purpose is the answer to the search that all must undertake who still believe there is another answer to be found. Listen, learn now without despair. There is no hope of answer in the world. But do not judge the lesson that is but begun with this. Seek not another signpost in the world that seems to point to still another road. No longer look for hope where there is none. Make fast your learning now, and understand you but waste time unless you go beyond what you have learned to what is yet to learn. For from this lowest point will learning lead to heights of happiness in which you see the purpose of the lesson shining clear and perfectly within your learning grasp. Who would be willing to be turned away from all the roadways of the world unless he began to understand their real futility? Is it not needful that we should begin with this, to seek another way instead? For while he sees a choice where there is none, what power of decision can he use? The great release of power must begin with learning where it really has a use, and what decision has power if it be applied in situations without choice. The learning that the world can offer but one choice, no matter what its form may be, is the beginning of acceptance that there is a real alternative instead. To fight against this step is to defeat your purpose here. You did not come to learn to find a road the world does not contain. The search for different pathways in the world is but the search for different forms of truth, and this would keep the truth from being reached. I'm glad you're here with me because we're going to take a step together in time, if you'll be willing to take it with me. The evidence that you have reached a place within your own mind that you have been before, since all of you are recollections of your own path in the idea of your search for light, okay, can be seen if you'll stay with me now for just a moment and recognize that what I'm about to offer you is not contained within all of the previous decisions that you have made about yourself. Will you look with me for just a moment about the new space that is being provided to you at this time and place that is not based on all of the previous decisions that you have made? It's extraordinary and will be to this world that through the practice of the availability of alternatives in your own mind, you have increased the frequency of light energy form that previously had been reduced to your determination to continue to project from you solutions that you had found within your own conceptual identity. This is a very fundamental offering, and it's one that the world knows well of. Indeed, it's the fundamental teachings of my Savior Jesus, who says very simply that you must be born again. Can you hear this? If you're standing at this bridge, wondering what to do, you'll get old in the process of retaining your own identity because of your fear of stepping beyond the veil. Can you hear this? Here's what I do. If you'll stand at that moment and not decide to die, not decide to cover that veil through a redefinition of yourself that only bridges you to death, you can understand that a vertical ascension within the hologram of time is available to you. Can you see that with me? Look at it just a moment. The light that we are sharing now, we call this the circle of atonement, is an expression that the continuity of time is going on all the time and actually has nothing to do with the old forms that you have brought with you in order to define yourself in that sickness and death. So the light factoring that we're beginning to experience at this time and place has heretofore been, say, a fearful moment. Yes. You've been afraid of coming to this time and place. Why? To you, it represented death. Okay? The time and place that you have come to, in which you continue to find solutions in space-time, are actually moments of death that require that you relive again within your own mind the formulation of associations of what you term life-death. Remember what we just read? Men have died on seeing this? What a despondency. What a collapse of self. What an expression of the futility that you felt in the realization that there's really no alternative here, that you have in fact been locked in that body form. Now suddenly, you have been persuaded within your own mind to look for an alternative, very simply because you are frustrated by the idea that this is what life is. Okay? Will you share this with me? And this will give you your illumination. Say to me, this is not life. Yeah. How you were constituted in your self-identity, the location of yourself, that had given you a perspective of the containment of the dark form is not who you are. The reason you can be certain of that is because I'm telling you, and I am a product or projection of your own mind, this through my Savior Jesus, who has been waiting for you to come to this perspective. I have now accepted that assignment to shorten time for you so that instead of going off into another procedure of a road that leads nowhere, you are able to take a new step on the shortest road that you will ever find. And it's one that allows you to stride out of time into eternity. What a moment of intense fear. Some of you will feel as though the whole world is collapsing in on you, and indeed it is. It may well begin with your frustration that you have hidden within yourself and pretended that you didn't feel. You look at me, human. As a former human, I understand exactly how every human feels, although he puts up this front that the ego requires that he put up. Deep within him, he cannot not feel the frustration of not being able to find his home. Why? He can't find it. He searches in vain on all the roads that the world offers him and believes within his own mind that the solution is contained within. He is continually frustrated because he is in sin, what we call separation from the point at which the return was possible. This is an offering of a realignment of the vibratory associations of light form by which you identify that body, showing you an instant reillusion of yourself. That moment of fear will pass because it did. Remember this, every time you are fearful, you are reliving that single moment, okay, when the time of terror within your own mind took the place of love. And so you die again because of your fear in the guilt that you feel about your separation, that you would not be welcome in the kingdom of God. How ridiculous. You must then believe that somehow the eternal creating source of reality is attacking you. There is no such thing as conflict. You cannot be injured in any regard. The idea that your conceptual mind would fear anything, most particularly the power of your own mind, is ridiculous. Are you willing perhaps now to accept my uncompromising assertion through my own enlightening factor of body and mind that for a moment we can discover this new alternative as we stand together in the here and now? Is this here and now? Is this the only time there is? Say to me, this is the only time there is. Yeah. So this is the time that you return to heaven. This is the time you disappear from the world. Let not time delay you longer by attempting to reestablish another factor within your own dark form. It's not true. You are the only living son of God because all power of the universe is contained in your newfound capacity to give or extend as your creative source does. Does God only give? Does your source of reality only extend eternally? Of course. Your new discovery of not retaining yourself in death is offering you this bright solution. You have discovered the truth about who you are. And it will include the falsity of this world. And the more now you are determined to stand up and declare, there is no death. The Son of God is free. Death was an idea that I held in my own mind because of my false identity of myself. And it's not true. Finally, our time is up. But I want to express to you the intense gratitude that I feel by your fundamental willingness to accept that there is no compromise between time and eternity. If your conceptual mind was determined to hold that identity of yourself, you would forever be condemned to separation. It's not true. The moment of the conversion of your mind is now being offered, and you did accept it, and we are back in time, recognizing the time that was accepted. Indeed. Yes. God goes with us and has always gone with us wherever we go because God, the power of the universe, is the mind with which we think. I hope I see you soon, perhaps on the other side. We're all crossing over now. So we can say together, God bless us, everyone.